This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today we are joined for the second time by Victoria Turrigan. She is a Russian-Ukrainian expat living in the Philippines and has done so for a number of years. And today we are talking to her about what she's learned doing high-end business in the Philippines. Okay, so she sells and deals in fine art, and we explore what she's learned, and we do actually go off track a little bit here, but there's a lot of interesting information just to get a day in the life and background information on Manila, and hope you enjoy. If you want show notes or any information or want to get in touch with Victoria, go to our show notes, which is found at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode35. Welcome back, Victoria.
Hi.
So today we're going to talk about, for those that haven't listened to the last episode, I recommend that you do with Victoria, an expat, sort of Russian-Ukrainian, but with a varied upbringing, living now in Manila and dealing with the art world and high-end luxury good markets. Now, I want to talk to you because our listeners are generally businessmen, business people, and involved in commerce. What are 10 things you've learned, or as many things?
That's the better
thing. Yeah, let's not confine ourselves to 10 things. What are the things you've learned doing high-end business in the Philippines? It can be high-end, or we can broaden that to business in the Philippines. So should we start with an easy one? What's an easy one?
What I've learned doing business here.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yeah. Learning. Personal business.
Personal business. As I've already, I will repeat myself, you know, the market is very narrow, and it's not related only to art or painting. It's also about fashion, about brands, trends in the Philippines. It's more, let's say, if somebody owns something, then the rest needs to own it as well. You know, it's like, I don't know, like word of mouth, you know. Mm. Let's say I buy this type of sandals, you know, from this famous designer. And then within a week, you have most of your friends wearing the same ones, you know, but in different colors. So.
And what is, because we were talking earlier about different cultures, and you could possibly suggest that the Chinese are pretty flashy with their money, pretty superficial. The Swiss are very guarded and very conservative in terms of what they'll be associated with. How do the Filipinos fit within that? Because I know a lot of wealthy Filipinos, and the majority of them drive around in Toyotas and are very sort of mindful not to stick out too much. Yeah.
In the Philippines, you
mean? In the Philippines, yeah.
Okay, I think we have different friends, you know, because my friends, they don't drive Toyotas, you know, most of them, that's why. I think it's talking about Toyotas, you know, about the prices in the Philippines and for the cars, that's why it's a common car. It's not about, I think if the prices were a little bit, the tax was less, people here wouldn't drive Toyotas, you know.
Do you think?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I see them all, like, interesting. I mean, you don't see many Mercedes, BMWs and things like that.
Yeah.
And there are people that can buy them, but it's...
But I think it's also not because of the prices as well, because I think Mercedes, BMW, even the car salons, they were opened quite recently here for those brands, you know.
Okay.
Before, they didn't have anything. As I know, Volkswagen was just introduced to the Philippines a couple of years ago. Before, they never had anything like that. So it's also not the matter of the price. Mm. It's also the kind of marketing, you know, they do in the Philippines. Going back to high-end business in the Philippines, as I said, it's a very narrow market, which is supporting their own brands very much, and not really willing and not really open to new brands, let's say European brands. If it's a well-established brand like Chanel, Louis Vuitton, you know, all those stuff, yes, that's it works because it has already its history. But if you want to introduce some new, really high-end brand, European brand, which is very, has very high potential, I don't think it's quite easy here. You know, you need to do a lot of marketing, a lot of efforts to introduce, even if the pieces are amazing, masterpiece. People love it, but they're still cautious to get it, you know.
Right.
Like they still feel hesitant, you know, to buy new things.
Because it doesn't have the external recognition.
Exactly, you know, yes, yes. This, I mean, they're quite aware, and I wouldn't say that the Filipino market, it's very open. Hong Kong market, since it's more like, you cannot call it Chinese because there are more expats living there. It's more open. People are more willing to get the new brands, new things, you know, they're looking for something new.
Right.
In the Philippines, it's more closed. Maybe because people cannot travel that much, you know. I mean, it's very limited, and not only in terms of money, but also, as you know, in terms of like access to other countries, like visa, flights,
that's
and everything.
True. And that's probably significant, yeah, because maybe 10 years ago, I imagine travel was very limited. Like, it would be difficult.
Exactly,
to get,
you know, exactly. Even people who have money, it's not that easy. Now it's more convenient because there are more airlines flying to the Philippines. Before, it was more difficult. You know, you have to make it like 40 hours travel to get to Europe, and many people would consider it twice, you know, before taking the trip. And also with visa thing and everything. And in terms of traveling, the also buying habits of the Filipino people going abroad, because I went with some friends abroad together, and they still stick to the brands they know. They don't want to waste time on exploring the new ones, you know. Okay. For example, for me, I really like to explore something new. And I do buy things because, not because of the brand. If I really like the piece, I don't care if it's a famous brand or no. You know, it's a matter of a price and a matter of my, you know, wish to buy it. With Filipino people, it's more like they have their certain target.
It's more of a conformity, which is in many aspects
yes,
of society.
They already know what they want, you know. They know exactly. They don't want, you know, to waste time for something new. So I don't know. It's quite good because, as I said, they really support their own brands, their own market. And in terms of art, it's very, very strong and very, very cautious in terms of letting the other new brands and new, let's say, styles enter the Philippines. As soon as they are their own artist introducing the new style, even if it's not a new style, even if it's impressionism, they will be willing to buy. But if it's brought by foreigner, they will be very cautious about that.
And then I suppose just finally, how is it trying to work into the marketplace? Because there is maybe a lot of caution as well in terms of who they deal with, in terms of their, you know, the market is quite closed in that regard. How does that relate to new artists within the local economy if they're trying to break through? Is it hard for them to get a break, or are they looking because they aren't the established artist?
That's another thing which I learned for all these years in the Philippines. Young artists really have a very hard time to get through in the Philippines.
Right. To prove their worth.
Yes, exactly. There are not a lot of funds, a lot of sources which would support the young artists here. I tried to create some projects here, like to work on some projects to give a way for the young artists to show their works to the world. But I really faced lots of problems, you know, because it needs financial support, and not even big companies would like to support to give financial support. They have a very limited budget for all those types of things, and they're not really willing to invest into it.
Right.
They can invest into already established artists, but in the new ones, let's say we were working for 8 months on the project, trying to find the sponsors for the project to give a green light for the young artist.
Right.
I suggested to make a contest of the artists, like to have an exhibition of many young artists, and people could come on voluntarily basis, you know, and vote for each work, you know, and
Nice. It
would depend on the number of votes.
Mm.
There would be the winner, and the winner would have a chance to have his or her personal exhibition for a couple of weeks at the gallery, but nobody wants to support it, you know.
Wow.
It's really very, very difficult to be an artist here, a young artist.
Yeah.
You know, you need, in many countries it's like that, but you need to have either connections here or
right.
you need to have money to arrange your own exhibitions, you know, your own personal exhibitions. And of course, with
right.
involving mass media, just making marketing.
Which means then that a lot of the successful artists are actually from relatively established families.
Yes, they are. They are. That's true. You know, most of the artists, famous ones, they are coming from very well-established families
mm-hmm.
who can support them, who can organize exhibitions for them, who can give them the green light in life.
Right.
You know, but for the young artists who are really very, very creative, but they have no, you know, financial support,
right.
I doubt that they will ever make it, you know.
Right. Interesting. So. Great. Thank you, Victoria.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to know any more information or you want to get in touch with Victoria, go to our show notes. You can find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode35. See you next time.